Bibles open. This message is called A Place Prepared for You. A Place Prepared for You. Open up to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. And Larry, perhaps it shall rain next week. Amen. I'm sorry about that. Just couldn't get it all together. We were pushed to the moment today. And
you remember the word.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Luke 23. This is when Jesus hung on the cross. And you remember the thief on the cross. There were two of them, one on each side. And Jesus is there. It's a horrible, horrible sight. Now listen to me. There was blood everywhere, beaten beyond the recognition of a human being. Horrible, horrible in the way this all happened. And he's hanging there, and mind you, the crosses of the day, Jesus wasn't up 8-10 feet up in the air. His feet were probably a foot or two off the ground. And they, in crucifying, remember, they turned him sideways and they nailed through their ankle bones and they crouched him just a little bit and nailed them to the cross. But he's there on this stake, an execution stake, if you will. And the one thief said to him, this is actually verse 42, Lord, remember me when, not if, when thou comest into thy kingdom. He had respect for the Lord Jesus, recognized who he was. The other was railing on him like, come on, get us all out of here if you are who you say you are. In the next verse, Jesus makes a profound statement. He says, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not the day after that, but today will you be with me in paradise. The Greek rendering has bred confusion. Paradosis. Paradiso, the word used in Greek. Jesus, remember, was not Greek. What was Jesus? He was a Jew, amen? He was Hebrew. And Jesus, in fact, said, today you will be with me in Gan Eden, which is the garden of God's luxury. Equivalent in Hebrew thought to the third heaven. The third heaven. This day, you'll be with me. This day, you'll be with me in Gan Eden, the garden of God's luxury. So if there's a third heaven, there has to be a first and a second heaven, right? Come on, you're with me? Amen. The first heaven, the aerial, where the birds fly, where we fly when we get in a plane or helicopter. The aerial, then there's above that the sidereal. And the sidereal is the place where the demons are at. Remember, those demonic spirits, yes, that's where they, those evil spirits in the heavenlies, that's that sidereal. It's not talking about, and they can, of course, come down into the aerial and down here into the earth. Angels are also in that realm. Angels are also in the aerial, sidereal, and also in Gan Eden, in the third heaven as well. And they can travel through. And in fact, we're going to find that angels do escort believers into the presence of the Lord when a believer dies. So this is a wonderful, wonderful truth. Paul spoke of the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12. You remember the incident. I knew a man in Christ above, 13 years ago, and he starts talking about how he saw things that he couldn't even, it wasn't even possible to relate. Wasn't even possible to tell what he saw. So with that in mind, you're not going to get great detail from the Word of God. You don't get a great amount of detail about heaven because it's beyond, it's so good, it's beyond what you can even put into words. Now, the Lord gives us some things about heaven, and that's what we're going to touch on today. But just the process of when a believer goes on to be with Christ, there is a beautiful place prepared. I mean, that should give every one of us comfort. Listen to me, knowing that you have a loved one in heaven right now, you can, and I have told different people this through the years. When somebody goes on to be with Christ, it's as if they are at a luxurious resort. And they have no telephones. And there's no way of communicating with them. But you've been told about it by the one who built it and created it. And they're at this resort that luxury doesn't even begin to describe it. This is a place, the Bible says, the foundations. God uses diamonds for his foundations. Could you imagine if this church, all of our foundation, the slab was, however thick that slab is, it's a thick slab here. It's not a 4-inch thick. It's at least 8 or 12. Diamond. How would that look if you had a clear diamond foundation for your house? Could you imagine that? Be kind of slick, Pastor Daniel, like walking on this pulpit's not a diamond, so don't get any crazy ideas. It's beautiful beyond explanation. Beautiful beyond description. The half of it has not been told, not even close. So feel sorry for Johnny Swinger. It was Johnny's birthday yesterday. Sandy's must be tomorrow, I think. Feel sorry for Linda Hicks, Bill. Feel sorry for my dad, your loved ones that are there. Are you kidding me? Ratna is in a beautiful, beautiful place. Beautiful place. Sherry, when she went on to be with the Lord, beautiful place. How many people I've had the privilege of officiating their homegoing ceremony, and I know every one of us feel that separation when a loved one has gone on to be with the Lord. My dad was the first funeral I ever did. You know that. But when I start thinking about what he's got up there, it takes away all of the pain, doesn't it? The lonesomeness, the separation. I think the shock of the separation is one of the big things that we deal with because of our emotions that are poured into life. And God gave us those emotions, and they're great. But that separation, that initial shock of the person being gone, and the thought of I'm not going to ever see them. Now you need to stop that right there. If they're a believer, you know good and well you're going to see them again. And it just is, they're at this beautiful, wonderful, crazy, opulent resort. And they're moving in at crazy speeds. I mean, we like our cars to do 0 to 60 pretty fast. In heaven? Are you kidding me? 0 to 60? What, 60 billion miles away? You can do that in a moment? Angels operate at the speed of thought, remember. Angels have to be able to go around throughout the earth. God is everywhere. So God doesn't have to go from here to there. God is. He's in your heart, Brianna. He's in my heart all at the same time. He's in believers' hearts over in New Zealand today. He's in believers on the other side of the earth, on the North Pole, the South Pole. He's in believers everywhere, simultaneously talking to us, speaking to us, ministering to us, because God is omnipresent. The devil is not. The devil is not omnipresent. He wishes he wished he could be. That's what got him in all the trouble that he's in now. He wished he could have been. No, he's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. And he's not all-powerful, omnipotent. Okay. I have no idea. What was that? Wasn't the light. Hey, you don't know until one of these lights goes and pow, you know. Stay up, please. Don't come apart. Maybe it was Jesse's pen right there. Maybe it. No, I don't. Anyway. Where was I? God is always present. Thank you. God is always. God's everywhere. Angels have to move about the universe. When you call upon an angel, the Bible is very plain that they are ministering spirits sent to minister for us. Hebrews 1, verse 14, who are heirs of salvation. They move from the speed of light upward. The speed of light upward, which really relates to the speed of thought. They can be someplace in an instant. Guess what? When you and I get to heaven, there are all those limitations on us that we have. No, you're not going to have wings and fly around with wings. You know, I don't buy that. I just don't buy it. Angels do. Angels have wings. I want to see that. And guess what? We're going to see it. Amen? But we'll be able to move about. And somebody, had, in fact, I mentioned it to Jerry the other day when we were talking. People talk about, you know, I'm going to be in heaven for eternity. I'll probably end up getting bored. What are we going to do forever and ever and ever and ever? Well, I'll tell you what happens when people get bored. The reason people get bored is tied directly to your flesh. When your flesh wants to be petted, pampered, and just, oh, you know, all that, the flesh gets bored when it doesn't get its way. Right? This is boring. I remember saying in school, man, this is boring. You know why? Because I wanted to be home. I didn't want to be sitting in that class. This is boring. When people talk about something being boring, it's because their flesh is getting involved and they want to do something else. Guess what? In heaven, there's no flesh. He's new every morning. Every day for eternity is going to be another new day. Man, there have been so many songs written that say this, every new day. His glory unfolds. Come on. For eternity, every day, it'll be new. His mercies are new every morning. Oh, man. So no, you're not going to get bored. We'll be able to travel around, go places, see people, see stuff. You will get to be able to see the people in the Bible that we read about. They're there. And the ones that knew Jesus and believed on the Lord and God's sacrifice to come for the Old Testament believers did the things they were supposed to do under the law, you know. But the fact is, you're going to get to talk to Moses. I mean, who'd want to talk to Moses when you can talk to Jesus, right? People are like, oh, they'll all be crowding around Moses or Abraham or David. Come on. You know, you go, hey, Dave, how you doing, man? You know, that was a dumb move with, no, you won't say that. But you know, find Adam, like, who was it? John Hagia says, when I get to heaven, I'm going to see Adam and I'm going to go kick him in the shins for what he did. And he could kick right back at you. No, there's not going to be any of that stuff going on up there. It's not going to be any anxiety, no anger, no bitterness, none of that stuff. Sometimes trying to figure out how heaven's going to be, we are so limited by our brain and our capacity here that we think, well, how's it going to be? You know, what's it going to be? It's going to be perfect. I don't have all the answers. It will be perfect, and we will have eternal bliss. Praise God. Can I hear an amen? So this third heaven, it's where God and his throne are at. Jesus sits at the right hand of God, the Father. Now, whenever a believer dies, angels will escort you into the very presence of God through the second heaven and up into the third heaven. And how long will that take? Just a moment. Blink. What does the scripture say? In the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed. You remember that? The Greek word is atomos, meaning an atomic second. It's just as fast as you can flick your eye, blink your eye, have a twinkle in your eye, that you'll be, boom, in heaven. In fact, you won't even realize it happened until you're like, I must be dead. Now, it sounds funny, but in reality, that's how fast it is. See, when I watched my dad went through some anxiety at the end of his life, just very briefly, he had been healed 8 years of cancer, got a clean bill, and then the thing came back, and within a couple months, he was gone. And I praise God that he didn't suffer. You know, I remember telling him a few days before he passed away, I said, Dad, if I could get in that bed, I'd do it for you. You know, and then I said, but the good news is somebody already did. And that's how he got healed the first time. He got totally healed. I mean, it was just a miracle. The doctors didn't know how, but, you know, you can't explain God. You can't explain when something's there and suddenly it's gone and they didn't use a medicine or a laser to kill it or, you know, whatever, and it's gone. How do you explain that? You don't. You say, that's a miracle. Well, amen. But when the morning my dad went home, you know, I went out to get the hospice nurse and I had to shovel my four-wheel drive Jeep out because it was that much snow out there. It was deep. And I'm out there praying in the spirit, shoveling at 6:30, 6:15 in the morning. You know, it's just still dark and the street light. And then it took me a little while to get the thing out. I mean, it drifted up to the side of the door on that Jeep, and that Jeep sat up off the ground, sat on his driveway. And I backed out, went and got the nurse, and by the time I got back, the minute I walked in the door, now, I was the first one to walk back into that house when my mom was there with my dad. And when I walked in the door, it's like somebody it's like you could smell somebody's cologne. It's like you could sense there was a heavenly presence that was in the house. And I walked in, and my mom came around the corner, and I said, he's gone, isn't he? And she said, yeah. And it was like, oh, thank you, Lord. He's already in glory. He's already enjoying the things that we have looked at and seen in the Word and talked about and preached about. And oh, he's no more pain, no more suffering, no more, none of that garbage. In the twinkling of an eye, what was I sensing when I walked in there? You know, somebody said, well, your dad was a believer. You just saw the emotion on your mom's face, and you knew. I didn't see my mom until I walked into the door, and she came around the corner, and I knew as I walked in the door before I ever saw her. There was a heavenly presence there, and Dad was gone. I knew it. Ask me how I knew it. I don't know. I'm sensitive to the Spirit of God, I will say that, but that's not to pat myself on the back. That's what we all ought to be doing, becoming more and more sensitive. But when I walked in, it's almost like, you know, like when you walk in a room and somebody just had an argument, and then when you get to their house, they put on the nice, nice act. As soon as they go, I'm going to hunt you and I'll let you have it. Shame on you for thinking like that. Amen. But it was almost like an aroma was left in the room. And it was a sweet-smelling savor. Amen. Angels will come and escort you into the very presence of the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. I want you to go over to Revelation chapter 2. As you arrive, you will notice a brilliant glow in the heavens. Revelation chapter 2. So all this happens, and people are like, I mean, I think you're going to have to push your mouth shut. Seriously. When you get to heaven, because the awe that strikes you, you'll be going, man, I thought these places in the islands were beautiful, or this estate, or that place, or this opulent thing. And your mouth is going to be agape, not agape, agape. So as you arrive, you will notice a brilliant glow in the heavens. Look at Revelation 21. I'm in chapter 2. So let me get there. 21, look at verse 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, verse 23. I've got so many verses written down. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Do you see that? And the Lamb is the light thereof. Chapter 22, verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it's verse 6, says that the face of Jesus Christ lights up the heavenlies. I mean, man, it will be brighter than the sun, the S-U-N. The S-O-N is brighter than the S-U-N. Amen? The brightness of his glory. Oh, my goodness sakes. Hey, look. You remember when Moses went up before the Lord, and then when he came down, they put a veil over his face, or he did. Do you remember? Now, it was a special thing to go up and be in the presence of the Lord like that. Scripture says he put it on so you couldn't see that it was fading away in time. We've kind of read that inside out. But if his face glowed even for a moment and you looked, you'd be able to tell that person, something happened to that person, right? Who else was it? Stephen in the New Testament, his face was glowing, isn't that right? When he was preaching and they said it looks like the face of an angel. When the presence of God is upon you, it's a noticeable thing. That's the presence that's in heaven. That same presence dwells in you and dwells in me today. You and I are supposed to be lights in this dark world. You know, we're all literally light bulbs for Jesus, supernatural, spiritual light bulbs. How bright are you shining today? Since the sun, Jesus Christ, his face lights up the heavenlies, how much of his presence is shining in you today, where when people see you, they see Christ in you, the hope of glory? Oh boy. Jesus is to be the attraction of the church. We have made so many other things the attraction of the church. But Jesus is to be the attraction of the church. Not the lights, not the stuff, not even the music, not even the preaching, if you will. We're supposed to preach the word, yes. We're supposed to sing and praise God according to what the word has to say. And sing and speak and praise God with the word in us and through us. Yes. But ultimately, the attraction of the church is to be the wonderful peace that Christ brings when you have him in your heart, when you receive him into your heart. That needs to be the attraction of the church, not all the accoutrements, not all the stuff, not the coffee bar, not the this, that, and the other. It needs to be Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ and his cross have front and center with God, and it should with us as well. Jesus is the light. What in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world, right? Who's supposed to be shining in us? Jesus, the one whose face lights up the heavenlies. That's that glow. My goodness sakes, when you get to heaven, it's going to be a beautiful thing. You'll see this glow. There's no night there. You're not going to need to sleep unless, I guess, you just want to. Maybe the Lord will say, you're not going to sleep for eternity. You slept way too much when you were in the earth. In fact, you slept through how many services? You slept through so many times. You slept through the times I was trying to get you up and talk to you and reveal things for your destiny, for your life, and you were too tired to get up. Well, amen anyway. Got to amputate. Now listen, get this picture. You have to be amputated off of the mattress. I mean, that's serious. Oh, my goodness. Some of you are going, hey, he's talking to me. Amen. So when you approach heaven, you're going to also hear a thunderous sound. Revelation 19, you don't have to turn there, but make a note of it. It talks about this sound that'll be there in the heavenlies, this multitude of people praising and rejoicing. It's going to be louder than anything you've heard. You're going to, what is going on? But there is such an overwhelming peace and a beauty to the place. Angels are standing before the throne of God. What are they saying? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You find that in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 8. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9. Those that will be standing on the sea or at the standing before the throne, on the sea of glass, they'll say, unto him who has redeemed us and brought us unto his own glorious self, who has redeemed us from every tribe and from every kindred and from every nation. There'll be people just praising God. You go, how can I praise God? I mean, it's going to be a round the clock thing. And you're not going to be the only one there. There's going to be a lot of people there. Well, I thought I could go off and explore Pluto if I wanted. Well, don't you know Pluto's not a planet? I beg to differ. I think it is. So I say it is a planet. It was a planet all my life until just a few years ago. I want to go explore. Well, you can get there in a moment and be back to praise the Lord in the next breath. If we had all the details and we knew exactly how it was all going to be, you know, I think that would be really cool. But we'd be limited to what we can imagine. And he's beyond what you can even ask or think. So, all right, a few weeks ago, Ann and I sat down. We were watching television one night. We played an old Beverly Hillbillies. You guys like the Beverly Hillbillies? You know, Donna Douglas was born again, spirit-filled. Did you know that? She went on to be with Jesus a few years back. Len and Kathy knew her well. Donna, I remember I saw her at camp meeting over in Tulsa back in, oh gosh, it's long before I knew Ann, probably 1983 or 4. And I was like, Ellie Mae. I mean, she was right there. You know, I said it to her. I didn't say Ellie Mae. Everybody was thinking it. Ellie Mae, you know. Anyway, we watched an episode of that, and there was a thing that we saw. It was a program about the estate, the actual mansion where they filmed. What are they, $50 an episode to film it there? Something like that. It's crazy. Or a week. It was per week. It was ridiculous. They started to show that place, and they took you through the actual house, and it's huge, but the grounds around it were huge, immaculate, the little streams and the pools and the fountains and the perfectly pruned trees and manicured lawns and just beautiful flowers. I mean, I think they were selling the place. That was what it was, like $150 million or something for it. They didn't have diamonds for the foundation, I can tell you that. You're going, man, you'd need a staff of 250 people just to take care of the place, the grounds. This is how immaculate and big it is. And I started to think about it. That isn't even come close to what heaven is. And yet everybody in here would have to say, that's beautiful. You know, The place was immaculately kept. Everything's perfect. Well, heaven's going to make that look like a rundown, in need of repair residence. Amen? Heaven is far beyond what we can call really something nice. So there's going to be this choir of people singing, hallelujah, holy, holy, holy. The angels will be shouting the hallelujah. You know, Ross talked about the hallelujah or hallelujah chorus. It's a hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah to the king shouting. Praise God. Just praise happening. Praise happening. But one of the first things that will happen when you get to heaven, he's going to wipe away any tears. You're not going to be sad. You'll be there in an instant. Before you can even blink your eye, you're in heaven when you know Jesus. Once you leave, it's gone. It's like taking your jacket off and you're home. Faster than that. But he'll wipe away the tears. That's a good thing. No tears in heaven. Why are there no tears in heaven? There's no sadness there. Amen. Now, there is somebody who will shed tears in heaven, and it's the Lord himself. And he'll shed tears when he has to say, depart from me, I never knew you. That is not a happy day for God. I can finally get rid of these people that I have not, you know, been able to get to, go to hell. No, that's not the way it is. The tears that he wipes away is any sadness that we might experience or had experienced in our life, or the thought of being separated from your loved ones, they're not thinking that. They're instantly in awe, instantly in a place of immaculate, wonderful sights and things that they can see, and just the presence of God up there is just, oh my, my. The struggle's over. The battle's ended. This is your coronation day, your crowning day, when you and I arrive into heaven. Now, this is all understanding that it's as a believer, okay? And there will be a handing out of crowns, remember? You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ for all of the works that you did in the name of Jesus. Your motive will be the driving force that he looks at. Why? Because God always looks at the heart. If you went and won 2 million people to Jesus, but you did it to beat the guy who won 1.5 million to Jesus, you might as well not have even done any. That's good that they got saved, but that doesn't mean you're going to automatically get a crown, the soul winner's crown, for doing that. If your motive was wrong in doing it, God looks at the heart. Whatever you do, God looks at the heart. That's why it's so dangerous to judge somebody, because you don't know their heart. Have you ever been judged? Every one of us have judged others. I've been judged. You've been judged. People have looked and said things about you that weren't true. They just didn't know your heart. They've looked at me and said things that just weren't true. They just didn't know my heart. And so it's dangerous to put yourself in that place. God looks at the heart. So any motive behind what you do should be pure motives. And if they are, then you'll receive your crowns accordingly. There are some crowns that will be handed out. He'll place it could be the soul winner's crown, which is called the crown of rejoicing. Just write these down. I'm not going to spend a long time on any of them. Crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. It'd be the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, which differs, of course, from just being the righteousness of God in Christ. Third one, the crown of glory, call it the elder's crown. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 4. That's one I'm very hopeful I'll have presented to me one day. Crown, because elders are, in fact, that's another word in the scriptures for pastor. People have always tried to separate the elders from the pastor, from the overseer, from the bishop, to this, that, and they're all synonymous in the original language, period. But people try to break them up and make distinctions and say this is that, this, that. No, a bishop was a pastor, okay? It's just another word. It's anyway. No time to go into that right now. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. The fourth one, the crown of life. James 1, verse 12, or Revelation 2, verse 10. Those are for those that lost their lives for the cause of the gospel. Some have called it the martyr's crown. Fifth one is the victor's crown. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 speaks of a crown that is given to those who are used in spiritual warfare. And so don't think for a second that intercessors aren't going to end up with a crown. Everybody's called to be an intercessor. I know I'm stepping over here. Just give me a moment. I need a sip of water. Is it dry in here, or is it just me? It's dry in here, isn't it? Say, it better be dry. If it's not, it's raining and leaking through the roof. So these crowns are things that will be presented. You'll be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know that. That's a 7-year celebration. That'll be cool. Praise God. All this stuff is happening. And what's time in heaven? There really is no time. Remember in our study back at the front of the year, from the speed of light upward? Or when you're in our existence here on earth, up to the speed of light. Once you get to the speed of light, things begin to slow down. The law of relativity and all that that we looked at. Go back and you can find those online. We have all those messages online. But what's time in heaven? In Revelation 21, verses 16 through 20, John describes heaven as a city as being four square. In those verses, he talks about the 12 layers of precious stones, a foundation of diamonds, as I've already said to you, that God uses diamonds for concrete. That's cool. There are, my goodness sakes, rubies, sapphires, diamonds, there's pearls. You know, we've heard about the pearly gates. This is opulence beyond anything you've ever seen. I mean, if they're pearly gates, you know the question I'm going to ask. How big was that oyster? Pearly gates. That's a big pearl. That's a bigger oyster. Well, God is the creator. If he wants to make a pearl the size of this building, that's his business. You know, he doesn't need an oyster to make a pearl. You realize that? Amen. Yeah. But it's really interesting. If you had a home with diamonds for your foundation, you would have the best security system possible to keep people out. And signs, do not enter, no trespassing, all that. Armed guards around it. In heaven, there's no do not enter signs. Everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, who believes in Jesus Christ, will one day spend eternity in this place. Again, he wants us to be there. He wants all of creation to be in heaven. It's his will that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's his will, that everybody be saved. Now, free will comes into play here. Free will comes into play whether you read your Bible or not, doesn't it? Free will comes into play whether or not you do the right thing when nobody's looking. Free will comes into play with whether a person will receive Christ or not. You have a free will. Now, I know that as believers in Jesus Christ, you are assured of what we're talking about today. So don't question whether or not it's going to be a good place. In John 14, verse number 2, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. It's a real place. You find that in Acts chapter 7, where that whole incident happened. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1, Paul said that we have a house not made with hands. It is a real place, guys. Heaven is more real than earth. I can just hear the thoughts, and I'm, wait a minute. Have you flipped? Where does God reside? Okay, he lives in your heart, I know that, but where's his throne? It's in heaven, isn't it? Was God before the earth? So I would say it's more real than this place because it came before. Well, that doesn't mean it's more real. God is the creator. And since we're going to spend eternity there, it has to be a real place. The word is very plain about it. So God gave Paul, you remember, and we made mention of it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, God gave Paul this guided tour of heaven, and Paul saw things it wasn't even possible to put into words. That incident that happened in Acts chapter 14 where they stoned him to death is what he's referring to, or when most scholars believe 2 Corinthians 12, that account of I knew a man in Christ above 14, it was 14 years ago, whether in the body or not, I cannot tell, who was taken up into the third heaven. That happened when they stoned him to death at where? Lystra? I believe it was in Acts chapter 14. And then the disciples gathered around. They stoned him. They didn't throw pea gravel at him. They didn't throw a little tiny. They threw rocks at him. I'll guarantee you he had gashes. He had bruises. He had broken bones. And they gathered around and prayed over him. And he rose up. It was some bad people from Iconium and Antioch that came that did that, incited everybody and stoned him there at Lystra. And so I was reading. A little while later, get this. This just stuck out to me this morning as I was going over my notes. A little while later in Acts 14, you can read, Paul goes back to Antioch and Iconium. Those were the people that stoned him. They saw him dead. Can you just see him walk over there? Hey, boys, thought you got me, huh? Yeah, it was just a thought anyway. Oh, my goodness. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible, Paul quotes this, and he says, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him or fear him." You can't describe it. It goes beyond description. It's going to be a beautiful place. You know that if you don't get anything else out of this today, get out of the entire message this one point. It's a place that is beautiful. There's no sorrow there. There's no tears there. There's no dying there. There's no flesh there. There's no devil there. And it's going to be just fine. Amen. All the particulars, I don't know. I don't know. Bible doesn't tell us all this stuff. But I quoted it to you before, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to die is gain, Paul said. And I just say it. Most believers don't believe that. We have to talk about heaven to get ourselves around it again, that actually this isn't our end all right here in life. The house that you own, the cars that you own, the money that you have, all the things that you possess, all that. It's nice to have stuff, fine. Don't live for it. Don't worship it. Worship God, because one day as a believer, we're going to heaven. And this whole time in earth here that we spend will be like a mist. Disappears. Your life is like a vapor. Here one day, gone the next. But eternity. Man, thank you, Lord. This is a promotion. It's a promotion. You know, Jesus said you need to do whatever you can to avoid the pitfalls in this life. What did he say? Pluck out your eye. You remember that, right? Didn't he say that? If your hand offends thee, cut it off. In other words, if you're doing stuff and entering into things you shouldn't be entering in, get away from it. Don't let anything get in the way of you ending up in heaven one day. Now, he's not talking about taking an axe and cutting your hand off. He's not talking about digging behind your eye socket and popping your eyeball out. It's not what he's talking about. He's saying, don't let things get in the way. Don't let things vices, attitudes, whatever it may entail. Don't let those things get in the way that could keep you from a full walk with him. I constantly, daily have to remind myself, what I have in this earth is just temporary. I was thinking about this morning. I was sitting in the house, and I was just looking around thinking, you know, one day, should we all just be caught out of here in my lifetime, and we're out of here, somebody's going to end up with this house. They'll have to break in and set the alarm off to get in, but, well, it is if I go during the night when the alarm is set, right? Yeah. But somebody's going to get the house. Who cares is right. What does it matter? Have it. Have all that stuff. Take it. The problem with some people is they're trying to take stuff like that today. You know, they're going around stealing from people. Well, hey, we need to just keep it all in perspective. Amen. What about the river of life? It runs down the middle of the, right square dab down the middle of Main Street, heaven. And there's trees, you remember, with the fruit, a different fruit, 12 different trees, a different fruit for every month of the year. And those leaves are the healing of the nations, the scripture said. I don't know, you're going to meditate on that stuff. It's just going to be a beautiful place. There's going to be things we're going to be spending our entire time there just looking around and going, oh my goodness, I didn't think it could get any better, but it is. Every day is going to be better. Every day is going to be new. There's no sickness there. There's no sadness there. People that were in a wheelchair here won't be in a wheelchair there. People that had physical ailments won't be suffering physical ailments. Everybody will be totally alive and well and fine. You know, the last time you saw your loved one, maybe they were in a position where they suffered from some kind of illness. It won't be that way. They will be rejuvenated and just the picture of total health. And I've got news for you. They're that way right now. So don't feel sorry for them. No. For me, to die is gain. To live here is Christ, yes, but to die is going to be much better than what we have in this place. God made this place a bit of a picture of the way heaven is to be, or is. Earth. I mean, earth was modeled after heaven. You know it was, but not near as good as heaven will be. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to close with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the scripture speaks about us seeing him face to face. You remember that? John the Revelator talks about we'll see him as he is. Well, Mary saw Jesus as a baby in the manger, remember? Right? Of course, he grew up and she watched him grow up and she watched him all the way through and saw him be crucified and all that, saw the miracles that he did and all that. John the Baptist saw Jesus as a teacher who needed to be baptized. He saw him as the Lamb of God. He recognized who he was. Peter, James, and John saw him as a leader. Weeping in the Garden of Gethsemane for the sins of the world. They saw him as a miracle worker. Sure they did. Pilate saw him as nothing more than a criminal. I was reading about Pilate this morning. People looked on him at Calvary as somebody who mouthed off and got in trouble with the Romans and they killed him for it. They were very much not in tune of what was going on. They didn't recognize, most of them didn't recognize who he was. But when we get to heaven, you know what? We're going to see him as he is. We're going to see him for who he is in all of his glory. And we need to continue to keep Christ front row in our lives. And I'll tell you why. Because the more you meditate on who he is, the more situations in life seem smaller and smaller and smaller. This little coronavirus, and I mean little, it is little, compared to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the greater one who lives in you, serious? You know, in the next year, after all this is in the rearview mirror, people will be making jokes. Mark it down. They're already making some jokes about it, but it's not a joking matter. It's a virus that has killed a lot of people. But people will, in the year or years to come, when something happens, they'll make some kind of a joke about it was COVID-19. You know, a year after there's been nothing happening. Just watch. It's not a joking matter. I'm not, you know, didn't take it lightly. I came against that thing as soon as I heard about it. And I came against fear trying to stop me in my thinking to open a door to that junk coming on me. Now, I didn't change my life one lick in the respect of what I believe and how I go about life. I was like, I see people scared, so I'd walk around them at the store. I didn't want them to be afraid, you know, and all that. But I haven't changed my belief or my life in one way. In fact, my faith has grown stronger through this because I knuckled down. I said, I'm not putting up with this garbage, and nobody in my household is getting it in Jesus' name. That's why I've been so adamant about encouraging you to not be afraid. Now, be smart, but do not be afraid. Fear is the opposite of faith, and fear will bring the curse of the law into your life quicker than anything else. You know what the best part of every vacation is? Going back home, isn't it? Huh? I mean, the best part of... You want to get away and you can't wait to get away. No, it's so good to go. Then you're gone a few days and you can't wait to get back. Happens to everybody, doesn't it? Or am I just me? Well, of course you're just you, Dan. Yeah, right. Depends on if it's Hawaii or not, right? Now you're there. Now you're there. Stand to your feet. Praise God. But Hawaii is going to look like trash compared to heaven too. Amen? So the beautiful things that you guys saw when you were there and various people in this congregation that have been to beautiful places. Ann and I went to a really nice resort on the Atlantic. That's the Gulf of Mexico, actually. And it was a beautiful place down on Sanibel. Pretty, nice, beautiful homes and condos and all these things around. Yeah, nice. Compared to heaven? Are you kidding me? Wow. So no more sorrow, please, about... And now I know there's not sorrow about your loved ones being in heaven. I don't feel sorry for my dad being in heaven. I don't like it that he's not here and I can't share with him and I can't talk to him and listen to him and all that. It's been a long time. But the fact of the matter is, he's having a blast. And he wouldn't come back if I gave him all the money in the world. Are you kidding me? Danny, you got to get up here. This place is outstanding. And that wouldn't even do it justice. Amen. So I pray comfort over all of you that have lost loved ones. And I say lost them. They've gone on to be with the Lord. It's really not a loss. It's really a gain. Amen. Well, it feels like a loss to us. I know that. And I understand that. That's our emotions. And that's true. And the hurt is real. And the separation is real. But the reunion, oh, is it going to be a reunion? I mean, is that going to be a reunion? Yes. You're going to have loved ones come up to you and greet you that are there. I mean, it's a place of reunion. It's a place of love. And if you haven't seen somebody in a long time and you could go and see them, are you going to go, no, I got to plant some garden today? No, you haven't seen your dad in 45 years and you love him dearly and you say you can't wait. And he's just arriving. You're not going to go see him? Yeah, you're going to go see him. Or if your dad was getting to see his or her, well, if it was your mom, their child. And they, no, reunions are based in love. When a reunion takes place and it's going to be a happy reunion. It's going to be a glorious reunion. forever. You know, there's a place in the scriptures that talks about a white stone being placed around your neck. You remember that? It's in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, 3, somewhere in there. Read the whole book, you'll find it. When you get to heaven, there will be a stone placed around your neck. And on that, it's going to speak of your character. What is your character? What is God going to say about you that will mark you for eternity? What is your character? Will it be, hopefully it won't be like stiff-necked, argumentative, you know, angry? Or will it say kind? Will it say diligent? Will it say loving? What will it say on your stone one day? Because that's going to be part of it when we get there. It'll be a stone that he has with your name on it, and it's going to describe you. It's a name tag, yes, but did you realize we're going to need name tags? Oh, hey, diligent. Hey, grumpy, how are you? See, we don't want that. You mean, yeah, just behave yourself and you'll get a good stone. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and bless you and thank you that heaven is real and heaven is our home, and we do look forward to that, Lord God, one day joining you there. Father, every one of us need a little bit of encouragement regarding this because our minds sometimes get too involved and we get concerned about what we're going to do for eternity. We just have to fall back upon the fact that you know what is best and you've got a place prepared that is just magnificent. That even Paul and all of his oratorical skills couldn't put it into words what he saw. It must be fabulous. So we thank you for that. We praise you for the peace upon those that are sad today over the loss of a loved one. And Father, I just pray that the revelation of how great it is will continue to build in each one of us. So we realize and recognize and actually believe that to die is actually gain. And so we thank you today and praise you for the word that we've gone into today and looked at. We just bless you. And, sir, we know that we'll spend eternity with you, so we just are so grateful for that. In Jesus' name. Come on, if y'all agree, say amen.